You're listening to The Baby Bunker, and I'm your host, Amelia Eagle. It's almost October and officially fall harvest time. Stay tuned this episode for a story read by special guest Gloria Rowe and, of course, our resident scientist, Chloe Ivanoff, whipping up something crafty in the kitchen. Thanks for listening to this fall episode, and stay tuned for the next half an hour.
Morning or evening, little listeners. Can you feel a change of season in the air? When you look at the mountains now, do you see any new colors like deep reds, maroons, and maybe even some brown? Deciduous trees are losing their leaves, and if you're careful on a windy day, you can catch them. One of my favorite things to do this time of year is harvest some of Kodiak's wonderful fall bounty-like berries. This year, I'm collecting something different. I'm going to collect rose hips. They're big, reddish-orange, and almost look like a cherry tomato. You likely saw their beautiful flower predecessor during the summer months, the pink and wonderful-smelling Nootka rose that grows wild in Kodiak. Rose hips can be collected and dried and made into a tea, but they can also be made into ketchup. If you want to make your own ketchup with rose hips you've harvested, grab an adult and gather these items. Hey, Lord, you're the feet. You will need 1 quart of fresh rose hips. Some recommend collecting them after the first frost. Water, 2 cups of apple cider vinegar, 2 cups of sugar, or you can use honey, 1 tablespoon of onion powder, 1/2 teaspoon of black pepper, 1 teaspoon of dry mustard powder, 1 teaspoon of salt, a pinch of cinnamon, a pinch of cloves, a pinch of allspice, a pinch of ginger powder, a pinch of cayenne, pot to cook the rose hips, a sieve to strain the seeds, a potato masher, a medium-sized bowl, and a few jars to store your finished ketchup. First, remove any stems or leaves that may be attached to the rose hips. It's okay if you don't get them all. Next, place your rose hips in a pot and pour enough water in the pot to just cover them. Bring the water to a boil over medium-high heat and then reduce the heat and let it simmer for about 20 minutes to half an hour. Keep a super careful eye on your cooking rose hips and add more water if it starts getting too dry or low. Then, remove your rose hips from the heat and mash them. Set them aside and let them cool for a little while so they don't burn your hands on the next step. Place your sieve over the medium-sized bowl and pour your cooled mashed rose hips into the sieve. Mash, press, scrunch, then mash some more so the rose hip pulp squishes through the sieve, leaving the seeds behind. You can discard the seeds in your yard so more rose hips can grow next year. You may need to put your rose hip pulp through the sieve again to get a smoother pulp. Take your rose hip pulp and pour it back into the pot and add the vinegar, sugar, and spices. At this step, feel free to continue tasting your rose hip ketchup and add more or different spices or ingredients if desired. I like to add finely chopped onions and garlic. Bring the pot to a boil, then reduce the heat and cook, stirring occasionally until it is your desired ketchup thickness. Once the thickness you like your ketchup to be, you can remove the pot from the heat, allow it to cool, and pour your ketchup into your jars. This recipe stores in the refrigerator for up to 6 weeks. You can try swapping out the rose hips for highbush cranberries or lingonberries for another cooking adventure. This ketchup goes well on burgers, eggs, french fries, home fries, flying flies. Just kidding. I wouldn't recommend putting it on flies, but try your ketchup on any foods that sound delicious. All right, little listeners, get out there and collect some rose hips, berries, or even a falling leaf. And if you catch one, make a wish.
We get it almost every night. And when that moon gets big and bright, it's a supernatural delight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight. Everybody here is out of sight. But they don't bark and they don't bite. They keep this loose, they keep things light. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight.
Dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine and natural sight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight.
We like our fun and we never fight. You can dance and stay uptight. It's supernatural delight. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight.
Dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine and natural sight. Everybody's dancing in the
everybody here is out of sight. They don't bark and they don't bite. They keep things loose, they keep things light. Everybody's dancing in the moonlight.
Dancing in the moonlight. Everybody's feeling warm and bright. It's such a fine and natural sight. Such a fine and natural sight.
Taking advantage of harvest season means being in the right place at the right time. I guess Dr. John never got that one down. But you can. Now's the time to grab rose hips and cranberries galore. Insider tip, you can also make itching powder from rose hips. You heard me. Up next, we have special guest Gloria Rowe reading us a story to break our bread to.
The Queer Little Baker Man, written by Philip Butler Bowman. A Thanksgiving tale about sharing with others. All the children were glad when the little baker came to town and hung the sign above his queer little brown shop, Thanksgiving loaves to sell. Each child ran to tell the news to another child, until soon the streets echoed with the sound of many running feet, and the clear November air was full of the sound of happy laughter, as the crowd of little children thronged as near as they dared to the little baker's shop, while the boldest crept so close that they could feel the heat from the big brick oven and see the gleaming rows of baker's pans. The little baker never said a word. He washed his hands at the windmill water spout and dried them, waving them in the crisp air. Then he unfolded a long, spotless table, and setting it up before his shop door, he began to mold the loaves, while the wondering children grew nearer and nearer to watch him. He molded big, long loaves and tiny, round loaves, wee loaves filled with currants, square loaves with queer markings on them, fat loaves and flat loaves, and loaves in shapes such as the children had never seen before. And always he molded, he sang a soft tune to these words. Buy my loaves of brown and white, molded for the child's delight. Who gets another's need, eats unthankful and in greed. For the child who breaks his bread with another, love has fed. By and by the children began to whisper to each other. I shall buy that very biggest loaf, said the biggest boy. Mother lets me buy what I wish. I shall eat it alone, which is fair if I pay for it. Oh, said the tiniest little girl. That would be greedy. You could never eat so big a loaf alone. If I pay for it, it is mine, said the biggest boy boastfully, and one needs not share what is his own unless he wishes. Oh, said the tiniest little girl, but she said it more softly this time, and she drew away from the biggest boy and looked at him with eyes that had grown big and round. I have a penny, she said to the little lame boy, and you and I can have one of these wee loaves together. They have currants in them, so we shall not mind if the loaf is small. "No, indeed," said the lame little boy, whose face had grown wistful when the biggest boy had talked of the great loaf. "No, indeed, but you shall take the bigger piece." Then the little baker man ran out of the bright coals from the great oven into an iron basket, and he put in the loaves, every one, while the children crowded closer with eager faces. When the last loaf was in, he shut the oven door with a clink so loud and merry that the children broke into a shout of laughter. Then the queer little baker man came and stood in his tent door, and he was smiling, and he sang again a merry little tune to these words. "Clang, clang, my oven floor, my loaves will bake as oft before, and you may play where shines the sun until each loaf is brown and done." Then away ran the children, laughing and looking at the door of the shop where the queer little baker stood, and where the raked-out coals, bursting at times, cast long red lights against the brown wall. And as they ran, they sang together the queer little baker's merry song. "Clang, clang, my oven floor, the loaves will bake as oft before." Then some played at hide-and-seek among the sheaves of ungarnered corn, and some ran gleefully through the heaped-up leaves of russet and gold for joy to hear them rustling. But some, eager, returned home for pennies to buy a loaf when the queer little baker should call. "The loaves are ready, white and brown, for every little child in town. Come buy Thanksgiving loaves and eat, but only love can make them sweet." Soon all the air was filled with the sound of the swift running feet, as the children flew like a cloud of leaves, blown by the wind in answer to the queer little baker's call. When they came to his shop, they paused, laughing and whispering as the little baker laid out the loaves on the spotless table. "This is mine," said the biggest boy, and laying down a silver coin, he snatched the great loaf and ran away to break it by himself. Then came the impatient boy, crying, "Give me my loaf, this is mine, and give it to me at once. Do you not see my coin is silver? Do not keep me waiting." The little baker never said a word. He did not smile, he did not frown, he did not hurry. He gave the impatient boy his loaf and watched him as he, too, hurried away to eat his loaf alone. Then came others, crowding, pushing with their money, the strongest and rudest gaining first place, and snatching each a loaf they ran off to eat without a word of thanks. While some very little children looked on wistfully, not even able to gain a place. All this time, the queer little baker kept steadily on laying out the beautiful loaves on the spotless table. A gentle lad came when the crowd grew less, and giving all the pennies he had, he bought loaves for all the little ones, so that by and by no one was without a loaf. The tiniest little girl went away hand in hand with the little lame boy to share his wee loaf, and both were smiling. And whoever broke one of those smallest loaves found it larger than it had seemed at first. But now the biggest boy is beginning to frown. "This loaf is sour," he said angrily. "But is it not your own loaf?" said the baker. "And did you not choose it yourself and choose to eat it alone? Do not complain of the loaf, since it is your own choosing." Then those who had snatched the loaves ungratefully and hurried away, without waiting for a word of thanks, came back. "We came for good bread," they cried, "but those loaves are sodden and heavy. See the lad there with all those children? His bread is light. Give us, too, light bread and sweet." But the baker smiled a strange smile. "You chose in haste," he said. "As those choose who have no thought in sharing, I cannot change your loaves. I cannot choose for you. Had you, buying, forgotten that mine are Thanksgiving loaves? I shall come again, then you can buy more wisely." Then these children went away thoughtfully. But the very little children and the gentle lad sat eating their bread with joyous laughter, and each tiny loaf was broken into many pieces as they shared with each other, and to them the bread was as fine as cake and as sweet as honey. Then the queer little baker brought cold water and put out the fire. He folded his spotless table and took down the boards of his little brown shop, packed all into his wagon, and drove away, singing a quaint tune. Soft winds rustled the corn and swept the boughs together with a musical chuckling, and where the brown leaves were piled thickest, making a little mound, sat the tiniest little girl and the little lame boy, eating their sweet currant loaf happily together. The end.
Someday, my baby, when I am a man, and others have taught me the best that they can, to sell me a suit, to cut off my hair, to send me to work in tall buildings. So it's goodbye to the sunshine, goodbye to the dew,
goodbye to the flowers and goodbye to you. I'm off to the subway, I must not be late. I'm going to work in tall buildings. I paid all the payments, it's time to go home. Wonder what happened betwixt and between when I went to work in tall buildings. So it's goodbye to the sunshine, goodbye to the dew, goodbye to the flowers, and goodbye to you. I'm off subway, I must not be late. I'm going to work in tall buildings.
Just rubbing and stubbing and looting and shooting, boy, you're too bad. 大街小巷，每个人的嘴里见面的一句话就是恭喜恭喜。
冬前一到人多人说后的消息，温暖的重逢若要随心的也来。
恭喜恭喜恭喜你，恭喜恭喜恭喜你，
恭喜恭喜恭喜你，
恭喜恭喜恭喜你。
That's a wrap on another episode of The Baby Bunker. You heard how to make rosehip ketchup and the wealth you gained from sharing. You are such great listeners today. Thank you for joining me. I had a blast. I gotta run now because Oscar needs to learn how to cook the perfect boiled egg. I'll see you next week.
安望春的消息，恭喜恭喜恭喜你，恭喜恭喜恭喜你，恭喜恭喜恭喜你。几小巷，每个人的嘴里见面第一句话就是恭喜恭喜，恭喜恭喜恭喜你，恭喜恭喜恭喜你，
恭喜恭喜恭喜你，
恭喜恭喜恭喜你。